Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
When is the right time to start talking about the holidays?
It's now.
Because the holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see ya in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia can't wait any longer to get into full holiday mode. And you'll feel the same with Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. No payments until April. You heard right. April. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months. A 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Fortes, Sportages, and Souls. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So you can afford that Thanksgiving feast, overspend on presents for the family, and still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible pricing, you'll get low payments and not even have to make one until April. The holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
More Kia is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on this Tuesday. And at the bottom of the hour to the Bryce Jordan Center, Dick Girardi will join me for Penn State basketball as the Nittany Lions take on DePaul's part of the Gavitt Games. The Big East and Big Ten getting together on this. Dave Gavitt was a great visionary. I always felt that two of the, I would say three of the great visionaries in intercollegiate athletics over the years would have been Bear Bryant, Joe Paterno, and Dave Gavitt. Bear Bryant because in the South, let's face it, when you decide to change over your football team in the South in 1970, you're a visionary. And that is something that has to be, you have to take that into account. Every time. I mean, John Wooden was very much the same way at UCLA with what he was able to do. So many things that you see today in college basketball deal with Coach Wooden. Dean Smith was very much the same way. And there's Dave Gavitt and Joe Paterno. Dave Gavitt was the one that looked at the East and said, look, we have to organize here. And we have the ability through cable television to make it happen. A visionary. And Joe was very much the same way because Joe was on all of those TV committees with the College Football Association and so forth. And what you're seeing today with college football and television, he and Chuck Nienas had a lot to do with that in the early 80s. Plus the other things, the instant replay, college football playoff, 12 teams in the Big Ten, and a championship game. I mean, look, he was for all that stuff. All that's come to fruition, which he talked about for 30-something years. But so Dave Gavitt, having his name attached to this is very important. Yeah, there was that point where Penn State tried to get in the Big East, and Gavitt, speaking on behalf of the athletic, because he knew how the vote was going, said it probably wasn't going to happen. But Gavitt also recognized to Mike Trangese that, look, it was, he says, look, I think we made a mistake here. But he was still a great visionary, and what you see in college basketball today, especially in the East, has a lot to do with the vision of Dave Gavitt. All right, let's get the vision of Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Here, Steve.
How did Donnie Collins spend his bye week?
Very sick.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Battling I'm not sure I would have been able to cover the game Saturday if there was one. I was chills and just very weak. Yeah, of course.
Naturally, of course, this show is curing you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what cured me? The work week starting again. This is the best I've felt since probably walking to the stadium in Chicago.
When you did you get a chance through illness to watch Michigan-Indiana?
I did.
What did you think?
I was very surprised that Indiana was able to run the ball the way they were, especially at the end of the game there. They ran 16, 17 straight times, and Jordan Howard every time, and not being able to stop him. I thought Michigan's run defense was better than that, but yeah, hey, that's a really great back that found one really great play that was working, and they kept going to it, so credit to them. But But in the end, I mean, that Michigan's really, really, really very tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, mentally tough, and I think that's the Harbaugh. That's the Harbaugh effect. Immediately, they don't give up on themselves. They find ways. They're a lot like Penn State was earlier in the year. You know, they're finding ways to win differently every time. And you know, Rudock looked great, but you know, that Michigan team to me has been different every time I've seen them this year. They've won with the running game. They've won with the passing game. They've won with dominant defense. So they could do it all.
You know, what's interesting is that Michigan had produced three and outs defensively on 44 of the first 88 possessions this year. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, right? that's unbelievable. Okay. I mean, that's a state of mind right there, too. I mean, just to be able to,
right,
you know, to buck up like that against the run. You have to be dominant against the run to do that and to put teams in third and longs. And,
but
yeah, it's just, yeah. That's the kind of team that is.
But they're only six for their last 39 possessions.
Yeah, and that's
interesting. I find that to be very interesting, that suddenly the second half of the season hasn't been quite the same as the first half.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you put a team like that on film, and you know, first of all, you also get to see some Big Ten teams. And Big Ten teams Michigan's facing are better than some of the teams they were facing earlier in the year, mm-hmm. obviously. But now you get them on film, and you see where you can pretty much attack them. And you know, I think it'll be interesting to see if Penn State off the bye week. You know, you should always be. You know, Penn State traditionally has been great off bye week, but you know, especially back, you know, back in the Paterno days, he was to give him that extra week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were very tough to beat. But it'll be interesting for me to see if Saquon Barkley comes out. You know, freshman season, you know, off the bye week, should be at his healthiest all year and is able to do what Howard did, because I think they're, I mean, not similar backs, but they're, you know, similar talents there that. You should be able to exploit Michigan if Indiana could.
What did you think of Rudock and his performance? Because, I mean, it was career best across the board, 440 passing, six touchdowns. People don't realize he also had a career high rushing with 63 yards.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a better player than I thought he was. When I heard he went there, I thought, that's a good, solid game manager type of guy who's going to go in there and not kill them. And then in the beginning of the year, he killed them in some spots. So he's kind of had the opposite year that I thought he'd have, but that was a spectacular effort, you know, against Indiana. He's on the money. He's got two receivers there that he really likes, Chesson, and then Jake Butt's good. So he's got two guys he's really competent in. They can run the ball enough to, you know, to keep the rushers off of him, and he's in a groove. So, you know, hey, when you get a quarterback in a groove, and Hackenberg was the same way. You know, earlier in the year, he felt like he was getting protected. He felt like he couldn't throw an interception, and he didn't. So now Rudock's kind of in that same type of groove. I mean, that said, you know, he's not going to throw four touchdown passes to the same guy this week or probably ever again. But that, you know, that doesn't take away from how well he's playing, how well he's reading the defenses, and how well he's running that offense, which right now is at a very high level. They're winning games offensively now and not defensively.
When you look at them with their ground game, Davion Smith, Drake Johnson, what's really odd is they have not really run the ball well this year. What do you think of that, watching that?
They've run it okay, but it's crazy because, you know, when you cover a team, you don't get to see the other games. I mean, unless you're making a real special effort to see one team. Usually I watch two games the week leading up to a Penn State game, and they're both, but it's the last two games that the opponent played. If I can do that. Now, I've seen Michigan play once all year, and it was the Utah game, so I throw that out. It was so early in the year, but you know, I was under the impression Drake Johnson was, you know, was a speedier back than he looked against Indiana. So I've read he might be a little banged up, but you know, he didn't have that kind of success that everybody thought he was going to have. And Davion Smith, you know, he's one of those traditional Michigan backs. He'll grind it out, and that's the way he looked to me in the Indiana game. And that Indiana team is not somebody. Yeah, that's not a defense that's special against the run. But they shut down Michigan pretty well. So, Penn State proved that they're not special against the run. So,
right.
I think that, you know, going forward, that's where if I was. If I'm James Franklin on the coaching staff, I'm wondering what can I do in my running game to kind of you know, excuse me, what can I do in my pass defense to kind of slow down Rudock, because I'm not, you know, quaking in my boots against those two running backs. But, you know, hey, anybody could have a big game at any time. Those two guys just didn't look explosive to me.
Styles mean something. Is this a style that better suits Penn State defensively?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is one more interesting. I thought last game was, you know, the Northwestern game was a really interesting game. And it, you know, in the sense that this was a team that Penn State should be able to beat. And let's see how they go out and do against a team that's playing pretty well and is favored and on the road. And, you know, and they didn't win. So this time, I think this is, again, a team Penn State could be able to beat. Just because of the styles. I mean, Rudock's a drop-back guy. They have big receivers that like to challenge you physically, and Penn State's got quarterbacks that like to challenge you physically, and, you know, they like to pound the ball at you in the running game, and Penn State likes to play that style on defense. And, you know, I think that this is going to be a game that, you know, Penn State couldn't pick an opponent, a good opponent, that it fares better against than Michigan, just because I think the styles are that similar. You're right, and you know, they're not going to send Rudock out, you know, running the spread option. They're not going to do some of the crazy things that Penn State hasn't stopped this year. They're just going to try to run it straight at you man on man, and that's where Penn State really plays well.
Yeah, in talking to one of the players this morning, he said, "Huh, bye week." He said that it felt good. All right. Mm-hmm. So what are you expecting in terms of just a little more jump, a little more everything out of this football team on Saturday because they did have the bye week?
I expect this will be a great start for them. They'll come out of the gate fire. I'd be very surprised if they come out and look sluggish or flat or anything like that. You know, I personally, when you get the bye week in week 11?
Yeah.
That's the worst possible week you can get a bye.
Sure,
because you've got to play you're basically playing an entire football season, you know, straight through. And I Penn State, to me, against Northwestern, not to make excuses for them, they looked a little beat up to me. So now they're going to come out, and those guys who looked a little beat up are probably going to be a little healthier. They've got the juice of playing against Michigan. The whiteout crowd. We'll see how that goes. And at noon, I've heard some. You know, the social media guys are out there a little worried about how that's going to look in the sunlight. But, you know, I think it'll be fine. And, you know, we'll see. I think everything points to this being a game where Penn State could have some energy coming out of there. And there's no excuse not to. I mean, they've gotten a little bit healthier. They've, you know, they're not going to be missing too many guys that they haven't had in the past, as far as we know. So I think this should be a game where they come out and play with a lot of energy, because, like I said earlier, this is a team I think that if they play well, they could beat.
This is also senior day for Penn State, and seniors that, look, they were all here during that fateful July where the sanctions were handed down. Plus, it does include the last six players that were out there with Joe Paterno. Your thoughts on this senior class?
Yeah, these guys... You know, Penn State owes its program to these guys in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, a guy like, you know, Zettel and Lucas. I mean, these guys could have gone anywhere. who wouldn't have wanted guys like that? Who wouldn't have wanted Anthony Zettel,
right,
for free? And he decided to stick it out at Penn State with no guarantee he'd ever play in a bowl game. And really, he played in the Pinstripe Bowl. And we'll see where he goes this year. But they didn't compete for a national championship. He could have gone somewhere to compete in a national championship. And chose not to. And you know, I was, you know, senior day to me. I've been going to, you know, Penn State games since I was a student there in the mid-90s. And, you know, senior day it was neat to, you know, it was neat thinking, this is the last time you're going to see LeVar Arrington, not LeVar Arrington, you know, playing senior day. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
some of those senior guys who knew
Brown.
Their career was over and you're moving on. But now it's taken on some kind of a different meaning, I think. In these last couple of years, where it's really, you're starting to say thank you to those guys who, if you're a fan, who stuck around when I'm not sure a lot of the fans would. And not a lot of the fans would have thought that they would have. So I think it's become, and days like this are not going to be there in the future, because now you're going to start seeing senior days in 2-3 years. you know, where you got guys who didn't stay through the sanctions. They just came.
Right.
And then they're just like everybody else. So I think it's a special day, and because these are special kids for the program, and they always will be. And I think that does mean something to these players now, and it does mean something to the fans. And that's another reason, you know, I think that this will be a, you know, kind of a special day for the teams. And, you know, and another reason I don't think they'll come out flat against Michigan.
You did mention and allude to on social media that the noon start is not exactly does not exactly have certain members of the fan base enamored. How about that? That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're running a TV network, doesn't it make sense to have this kind of doubleheader?
Yes. It makes perfect sense to have. when they're voting for the whiteout, I thought the Rutgers game was the ideal one to vote for, and I knew everyone's going to vote for Michigan,
right?
Because it's Michigan. You want to have your whiteout against Michigan. It's your best game of the year. But you know the whiteout games. If you want it at night, you have to have it against Rutgers because you have to look at the schedule and say, oh, Ohio State and Michigan State's going to be a 3:30 game. Right. So we're not going to be a 3:30 game that day, and there's no 8 o'clock game that night. So I thought it was an interesting game to pick for that, but I don't think it's going to affect any of that. A whiteout game at noon, it's something new, it's something different. I think it'll have a lot of atmosphere, especially if Penn State comes out and plays well. And I think it'll be something fun to watch. And you know, fans are going to complain about stuff, and reporters are going to complain about stuff, and that's just the way it is. But you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think that. You know, somebody made a great point to me on Twitter. They said, "Who has white coats? Because it's going to be chilly." And I thought that's the best argument I've heard against it.
Yeah,
but you know, really, it's the only argument to me. I think it'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, I know it'll be a great atmosphere. You know, if I have my way, the game's at 3:30. If I have my way, the game's at 1:30. But but if I have my way, the game's at 3:30. Well, we don't have any control over this. It's a bunch of suits in New York and in Bristol making decisions. Well, if you're sitting there in a cold, sterile world looking at it as, okay, what's the best television programming for us? Is it Michigan, Penn State as a lead into Michigan State, Ohio State, pretty good programming?
It's the best programming they could possibly have. If they've had a better 1-2 punch on a Saturday this year, I haven't seen it. I can't think of it off the top of my head. Penn State's got such national appeal, as everybody knows. Yeah, as does Michigan. That's a big national game, and it doesn't appeal to comparison to the meaning of the following game. I mean, that's a must win game for two different teams there. So, I would have been shocked if this game wasn't the noon game. Right. Because it made total sense for it to be the noon game, and that's the world you live in with the TV contracts the way they are and all that. I mean, you know, obviously ABC and ESPN gets their pick, and they're going to look at the Big Ten schedule and say, oh, those two games, you know, Penn State, Michigan, sure, I want that one. You know, Ohio State, Michigan State have to have it. So let's just determine what times you could put them at, and the times you have are 12 and 3:30.
Right.
So how do you? I don't know if you can justify putting it. The Ohio State Michigan State game is the lead into the Penn State Michigan game. That's just the reality of the situation right now.
All right, now Ohio State does play Michigan State. How do you view that one?
Well, I really really like the Buckeyes. I mean, Michigan State to me haven't been playing great. You know, there's some questions about Cook, with the shoulder and you know how is he going? You have to have all your capabilities, all your facilities about you to beat Ohio State. I understand that Ohio State has looked great at times this year, but they're still the most balanced team in the country. I mean, they still play great defense. They still have a quarterback who could throw and run. Ezekiel Elliott to me is a great equalizer. They have a really good offensive line. Michael Thomas might be talent wise the best receiver in the country. I'll take Ohio State against anybody in the country right now.
Right, and Connor Cook, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know. Donnie, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Always great to have Donnie on the show, get his perspective. And yes, Donnie seems to be feeling a lot better after a bye week to forget for him. So sick. All right, bottom of the hour, Penn State and DePaul at the Bryce Jordan Center. The Nittany Lions winning their opener over VMI, 62-50. Shep Gardner had 15, Brandon Taylor and Peyton Banks had 12, and Josh Reeves had 6 with 3 blocks and 2 steals. Meanwhile, DePaul led by Billy Garrett, first-team All-Big East preseason selection. You watch the tape. Garrett can go left, go right, and he can pull up and hit the jumper. He's a good basketball player. Tommy Hamilton, good inside-outside threat at 6'11". Rashawn Stimmage does all the dirty work, all the winning plays that you need to have from a basketball player. He provides. And Mike Henry is a guy that Penn State fans have seen before. I just don't think you didn't realize it. He played for Illinois and transferred to DePaul. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Penn State and DePaul, second game of the season for each team. DePaul rallied 45 points in the second half and won their opener over Western Michigan. Finally won it 69-63. All right, that does it for today's show. Later in the week, Jack Hamm, Jim Brandstetter, Gene Deckerhoff, John Bacon. Still to come this week on the show. Our thanks to Brandon Gouten and Donnie Collins for joining us today. For Kevin Ure, I'm Steve Jones. We will talk to you tomorrow right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.